Take your Bibles and turn to the book of John tonight, please. The book of John. John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. So microphone sound all right tonight? Okay, we did some adjusting on it yesterday. Appreciate that. John chapter 8, verse number 27. This is just a kind of a springboard for the message tonight. We're looking at the doctrine of Christ. We've looked at Jesus in his pre-incarnation, and then we looked last Wednesday night at his birth. And what I want to look at tonight is his life, the life of Jesus. And any of these messages could be a series easily. And when I get down to the end of this one tonight, you'll understand why that I said that. We're looking at the doctrine of Christ tonight, his wonderful life. In John chapter 8 and verse number 27, this is how the Lord began to work in my heart this morning early, thinking about tonight, where we were going. The Bible said in verse 27, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Look at this last statement. For I do always those things that please him. Pray with me a moment. Father, I thank you tonight for the Word of God, and I thank you, Lord, tonight for the precious Son of God. And Lord, I pray tonight as humbly as we know how, try to magnify the life of our Lord Jesus. God, that you would just magnify that life in our hearts. Lord, we pray that, Lord, there at Antioch, they were first called Christians at Antioch. We pray that as we study the life of our Lord Jesus, Lord, that you would make us want to live more like him, to have that kind of influence, our Father, on others as we walk the face of this earth. Lord, we sure do love you, and we thank you for loving us. We lift up especially tonight our dear sister Shelby. Lord, on Sunday night, I really was encouraged. Lord, the news tonight, it's not good. God, you're good. Lord, Sister Shelby loves you. And I pray you'd watch over her, Brother Ralph, tonight. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us as we look into the Word of God. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. Notice verse number 30. I didn't read verse 30 as I was reading the text tonight. But the Bible said, as he spake these words, while Jesus was talking, as he spake these words, many believed on him. How many have believed on him tonight? Amen. I love the scripture that Brother Jason talked to us about. And at one time I could quote that chapter. I'd really have to work hard to get back to a place where I could do that again. But it's a wonderful chapter in the Word of God about the suffering of our dear Lord Jesus. That will probably be our next message. We'll be talking about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine of Christ. But tonight, I want to think about our Lord's faithfulness. Let me give you a thought that crossed my mind. What would it be like to just live one day and know that from the time you got up in the morning till the time you went to bed, that everything that you thought, everything that you did, was pleasing to the Father? That's a battle. Say amen. Somebody say amen. But you know, I'm going to a place called heaven, and I'm going to have a body likened to the Son of God, a glorified mind and a glorified body. And the thought came to my mind that you've even heard songs about the first day in heaven. But let me give you something. There's no time in heaven. Time stops and eternity begins. And for all eternity, Brother Caleb, I'm going to do always those things which please the Father. I believe we ought to strive for that. I believe Brother Mitchell, Brother John brought that out a lot in his preaching, that we can't be perfect. We're not perfect. But we ought to strive, Brother Vince, to please the Father. We ought to strive in our thought processes and in our walk with God. We ought to strive to please the Father. If we get good and close to Him, I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll break our heart when we don't please Him. Say amen. And we'll want to get that big R word out and repent. Another thing Brother Mitchell said, he said, if you've ever repented, you're still repenting. I've said for years, the individual that's walking the closest to the Lord don't know it. Because the closer you get to Him, the more you see in the mirror that needs work. Amen. And so in the doctrine of Christ, I want to give you several things. I'll talk just a little bit, first of all, about our Lord's faithfulness. He said, I do always those things that please Him, talking to the Father. When that thought went through my mind and how God wanted me to begin this message, I immediately began to think of a song that Sister Paula, as a matter of fact, I sent the lyrics to Brother Brian and Sister Paula this morning and let them know that we were praying for them as they went throughout this day. But the song that she sings says this, I've not always been faithful, but He has. Glory to God, He was faithful when He was walking the face of the earth. Aren't you glad tonight we have a faithful high priest that's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us? I've not always been faithful, but He has. I've not always been graceful, but He has. Not always been true, but He's always come through. He has. Yes, He has. I tell Him I'm not strong, and He says I am. I say I can't go on, He says He can. I've not loved everyone, not always overcome, but He has. Yes, He has. The chorus said He has been the greatest friend this world has ever known. He has paid the debt on Calvary all alone. He has given me a melody and song. He has. Yes, He has. I got up this morning and that song just began to ring in my heart as I meditated on how God would have us to start the message tonight, talking about the life of Jesus. I'll tell you, all the way through, He's faithful. He's faithful. He set the perfect example. Turn to Luke chapter 2 with me, please. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 41. I need to pause and just thank everyone that prayed for the meeting at Cedar View on Monday morning. As I preached to the kids, and the Lord just blessed and helped us. We didn't see anybody saved, but I tell you, there was about 20 teenagers that got some help. That, listen, I don't know about you, but it crosses my mind often what these youngins are facing in this world that we live in today. Amen. And we need to pray for our youngins. Amen. I thank God for those that'll be honest and seek help from the Lord. In chapter 2 of Luke, in verse number 41, our Lord was faithful to His Father. That's where we started tonight. But I want you to see our Lord was faithful in His childhood. The Bible said in verse 41, now His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of Israel, after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. When I read that, I'm reminded of the lady. I believe they had 7 children, and they went to Big Stone Gap to Walmart, and they got home. They had a station wagon, and they got home and was missing one. Thank God that was before cell phones. They called Walmart, said, "We got him right here at the service desk." Amen, at Walmart. And so Mary and Joseph are missing one. They're missing Jesus. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing." The mothers that are in the crowd tonight, you can only imagine where your heart would be if you was missing your baby. Amen. And the word of God said here, "And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wished you not?" Here he is, 12 years old. You know, he said that I must needs be about my father's business. I'm telling you something, beloved. It's not just Timothy that we learned this from. Paul told Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth." I'm telling you, beloved, God can use our young people. I believe God is using our young people. Amen. And here's Jesus. He's faithful, even in his childhood, beloved. He's faithful. He said here, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. I'll tell you, he was faithful. Thank God, not only to his father, but he was faithful in his childhood. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 4 tonight. Matthew chapter number 4. Boy, I would to God that we could just get something from this tonight. Amen. That would help us in our daily walk with the Lord. In Matthew chapter number 4, Jesus was faithful to his father. He was faithful in his childhood. But Jesus was faithful in the hour of temptation. I want you to see this tonight. The Bible said here, "But when Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered." Before I go any further, let me ask you something. What would it be like for you and for me if we were always faithful in the hour of temptation? I don't believe there's a one of us that could raise our hand and say we've always been faithful in the hour of temptation. But the Word of God said this. Let me get it here in a minute. "There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God..." Let's see. But I'm not getting it right. "There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Let's just turn and read it. It's over in Corinthians. Let's turn and read it. I'm missing it tonight. "He'll also make thee a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it." I have to find it. Let's see. Does anybody know where it is right off the bat? There. What now? 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No wonder I can't find it. Okay. 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There hath no temptation taken you." Wow, that's what I'm preaching on. I missed that part. "But such is common to man, but God is faithful." Amen. who will not suffer you. We can never blame it on him. The blame lies at our feet. Say amen. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And so here's Jesus in chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 3. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." And he answered and said, "It is written," I love this, "man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and he setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." The word of God said, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I'm glad. You say, "Pastor, I don't know really why you would get all excited about Jesus being faithful in the hour of temptation." Beloved, listen, we don't have a Savior if he falls in the hour of temptation. If he gives in any of these areas, and he gives us a perfect example here to how to deal with temptation. Three words, it is written. The devil's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of me. But there's one thing he's never been able to do anything with, and that's this precious old book. That's why David, he learned his lesson. Amen. After the fall with Bathsheba, he learned his lesson. He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Amen. It was the word of God that helped him in that hour. The word of God said in Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not a high priest who cannot be tempted, but he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin." Thank God tonight, Jesus is faithful. Faithful to his Father. Faithful in his childhood. Faithful in the hour of temptation. Amen. Faithful in his ministry. The word of God said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 29, "For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes." Anybody that walked with Jesus in that day knew he was different than the religious crowd of that day. They knew, beloved, he had that power, that authority on him. And then I found this when I was studying, and I love this. He's faithful even in his very name. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Revelation 19:11. The Bible said in verse number 11 of Revelation 19, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called," you've got to love this, amen, "Faithful and True." How'd you like to have a name like Faithful? Amen. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Bible said, "In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood." We'll be reminded of that precious blood through all eternity. Amen. And the word, his name is called the Word of God. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Thank God tonight, beloved. Listen, you can just study Jesus' name and see his faithfulness. Amen. He's faithful and true. And then I want to say this before I move on. In his faithfulness, it has an effect on us. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, listen to what the Bible said in Hebrews 10:23, and then I'll back it up with 2 Corinthians. Hebrews 10:23 said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And then God gives us in the King James Bible in parentheses, he gives us this, for he is faithful that promised. Amen. There's no need for us to waver. I love the song, Brother Dale. They sang it a lot over at Oak Glen. There's no need to doubt him now. He'll make a way somehow. You say, Pastor, when you look at my life, you might doubt. But when you look at his, you'll never doubt. Amen. The Bible said, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Listen, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Tonight, he's faithful. Amen. We ought to be faithful. We ought to hold on, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful, that promise. Then secondly, tonight, not only do we see our Lord's faithfulness, but I want you to think about our Lord's fulfillment tonight. Listen to what the Bible said in Matthew chapter 3. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John, to be baptized of him. Don't you reckon John, you know, he said, no, I have need to be baptized of you. Watch what the Bible said. John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? I believe John felt about that tall. You know what I mean? Here comes the Son of God. He's the one, John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Honey, Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. And the fulfillment, beloved, in Jesus' life, it pictures for us, beloved, listen, his faithfulness and the fulfillment of righteousness in his life, it should draw us to him. He suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. I don't know what, if you didn't have anything else in the Word of God to teach you the Trinity, why wouldn't that teach you the Trinity? Amen. The Son of God's going under the water. The Spirit of God's descending. And the Father in heaven said, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You see them all right there in one text. What a blessing that is tonight. We're looking at the doctrine of Christ, his wonderful life, his faithfulness, his fulfillment. Then I'm going to give you a few examples tonight. I'm not going to go and read all the texts tonight, but we'll read one or two of them anyway. Then you would have to, if you're going to look at his life, you'd have to see our Lord's forgiveness. I tell you tonight, there were some people that were glad that Jesus is a forgiven Savior. The woman taken in adultery, she was glad. Amen. She was fixing to be stoned to death. Amen. But Jesus, he got down and he wrote something in the sand. And I don't know what he wrote. Maybe, beloved, he just wrote some scripture down there. Amen. Maybe he wrote, instead of Moses' law, maybe he wrote Jesus' law. Maybe instead of writing, thou shalt not commit adultery, maybe he wrote, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery already in your heart. I don't know what he wrote, but I tell you this, whatever he wrote, let them old boys know they didn't have no right to hold a rock. Amen. They had to drop their rock, say amen. And they fled. And Jesus said to the woman, where are thine accusers? And she said, Lord, I have none. He said, neither do I condemn thee. He said, go and sin no more. Amen. Listen to me. If a person's been forgiven, they don't want to keep doing the same old thing. Amen. They enjoy God's forgiveness. He forgave a paralyzed man in Mark chapter 2. Turn there with me for a moment. in Mark chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1 in Mark chapter 2. This is a blessing tonight to see what these encounters that the Lord had with people in his life. In Mark chapter 2, the Bible said, "And he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house." The Bible said, "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch as there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." There's a couple of things I want you to see right here. These fellas had to work together. Amen. None of them, if one of them dropped their corner of the stretcher, amen, then the fellow falls. Amen. They had to work together. They had to work. You know, getting people to Jesus sometimes is work. It's more than just one visit and one witness. Say amen. I'm telling you, sometimes, listen, it's work and prayer. It's work and being consistent. The first man I ever led to Christ in the prison, I went back 3 days in a row. Why? Because God put it in my heart to go back. Amen. He wrote the ministry a letter and said, "I couldn't believe that anybody cared enough about me to come and see me 3 days in a row." I'll tell you, Jesus come a lot further from Sir Goinsville to prison to keep them out of hell. And we ought to, beloved, be willing, amen, to work at it. Amen. The Bible said here, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." I'll tell you something right now. He was glad of that. And there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemy?" Boy, I'll tell you what, you're in a bad shape if you can't be glad that somebody was let down on a stretcher and got up and carried it out. Glory to God. Amen. I'll tell you, if I walk over there at Holston Valley and they throw the doors open on the ICU and everybody walks out, I'm going to be glad. Amen. Not complaining and murmuring. The Bible said immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise, take up thy bed and walk,' but that ye might know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house.'" Jesus is forgiveness. The woman in adultery, the paralyzed man. Now there's a man in the ministry. His name's Peter. You see, you don't have Peter on the day of Pentecost in the power of the Holy Ghost without John chapter 21. He had an encounter with Jesus. Amen. In other words, he had already went back to his old life. I go a-fishing. He had already cursed. He had already denied. But he had to have a meeting with Jesus. You know what Jesus did? Jesus forgave him. Did you know tonight that I wouldn't be in the pulpit tonight if it wasn't for a Savior that forgives? Don't look at me like that. You wouldn't be in the pew either if it wasn't for a Savior that forgives. Amen. And I'm talking about Peter, not a person that's a sinner being forgiven, but a person that's a saint of God being forgiven. Amen. What a blessing. Then the last example, there's all kinds of them in the Bible, but I just wanted to give you a few and look at his forgiveness in his life. Is that thief on the cross? Boy, I tell you, when he looked over and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." People don't realize, well, did he say the right words? Let me give it to you like this. He said the right word. He said, "Lord." You see, that's why they were crucifying him, because he claimed to be the Son of God. What he was saying when he looked over and said, "Lord, is I agree with you. I don't agree with them. Amen. I need you to remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, today, this day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. I don't know what went on in that man's heart, But I believe, just like when you and I got saved, there was a peace that overwhelmed his heart, overwhelmed his life. Amen. Maybe they had to break his legs so that he wouldn't be hanging there on the Sabbath. But I'll tell you this. They didn't break Jesus's. Maybe they broke the thieves' legs. I believe they did, really. They came to break them so that they would die. They could no longer push up and breathe. But he breathed his next breath in glory. Let me ask you a question before I conclude tonight. Get into the last thing. If you died tonight, would you be with Jesus in glory? The Bible said, for the child of God to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no pastor that can give you that peace. There's no parent that can give you that peace. But there is a Savior that can give you that peace tonight. His name is Jesus. Then I want to give you this in closing tonight. We've looked at our Lord's faithfulness and our Lord's fulfillment in his ministry and our Lord's forgiveness as he walked the face of this earth. But I want you to think for a moment about our Lord's fruitfulness. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, I'm not going to read it all tonight. I put it all down because in all my years of preaching, I never put the two together. I've looked at the scripture here. It starts in verse 30. And then I've looked at the story of Thomas. But I've never put it all together in its context until today. And it's a wonderful story. Thomas, one of the 12, he was not with them. You know the story. He said, I'm not going to believe unless I can thrust my finger, touch his hand, see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and then thrust my hand into his side. He said, I'm not going to believe. But you know what Jesus said? He said, Thomas, reach hither thy finger. And you know what Thomas did? I don't know if he reached hither. The Bible don't say. But I believe when he heard his voice, let me tell you something tonight, there ain't no voice like his. I believe when he heard his voice, Brother Jason, he said, my Lord and my God, amen. He done know it, he done missed it, amen. The disciples tried to tell him he was alive. Now he knows. How many knows he's alive tonight? I got a Bible that says he's alive, but I love the song, you ask me how I know he lives? Honey, right there he is, amen, in my heart, in my life tonight. But then you get down to verse 30. After that story with Thomas, he said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they. That's us tonight. That's every born-again believer in the house tonight. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Now watch this. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe. And that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. I've always, for some reason or another, took one section or the other right there, preached out of both of them, but not took them together. It's important tonight that we see our Lord's fruitfulness. You say, Pastor, I don't know where you get fruitfulness out of that. Well, let's go on here. Look at John chapter 21, verse number 24. This is what the Bible said. This is that the disciple which testified these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now I want you to think about this. There are also many other things which Jesus did. In other words, tonight, if you wanted to just take up a study on the life of Christ, you can go through the Bible, but you're still not... if not even begun. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? He said many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, if you wrote every one of them down, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain. You say, Pastor, surely you don't take that verse literally. Yes, I do. I certainly do. Amen. He said, if I wrote down everything Jesus did, the whole world couldn't contain the books that would be written about him. Jesus has that encounter with Nicodemus. He says, the Bible said the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I did a little bit of research, and there's 37 miracles recorded in the life of Jesus. There's 37 miracles recorded in the Bible. You remember, we need to remember this now, especially in our day and in our hour. The Jews required a sign. God gave it to them over and over and over. He even told Thomas, he said, Thomas, because you've seen, you've believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. In God's economy tonight, it's all about faith. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. Whenever a sinner, anybody that needs to be saved, comes to that place and says, Lord, you're right. I'm a sinner just like you said I am. And Lord, I believe. I've never seen the cross, but I believe you died on it. I didn't see your miracles, but I believe you did those miracles. I believe you lived a holy life. I believe, Lord, that you were tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. I believe, Lord, you rose again the third day. You know what you're witnessing? A miracle. A miracle of faith. The new birth is nothing short of a miracle. I had not seen any of that, but I tell you, in my heart and in my mind, God's Word and God's Spirit working together made those events real in my heart and in my life. Let me give you these miracles tonight. There's the turning the water into wine. And I'm not going to give you the scripture references tonight, but I just want you to see them. Healing the nobleman's son. Healing the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda, feeding the 5,000, walking on the water, healing the Syrophoenician woman's daughter, healing the deaf and the mute man, feeding the 4,000, healing the blind man at Bethesda, healing the man born blind, raising Lazarus from the dead, cursing the fig tree, healing the woman with the issue of blood and raising Jairus' daughter, healing the 10 lepers, healing the man with the withered hand, feeding the 5,000 a second time, casting out a demon from a boy, and healing blind Bartimaeus. That is the Savior that you and I serve tonight. When he walked the face of this earth, the Bible doesn't give us everything that he did, but the Bible gives us enough that we might believe. That we might believe. John said, these things are written that you might believe, that believing you might have life through his name. That scripture is not just written to sinners. Beloved, that you might believe and that you might have life. Do you know why a lot of God's people don't have an abundant life? They don't believe. They don't believe. God wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. I say this tonight, you may be in the darkest valley on the face of the earth, but God wants you to have joy in that valley. God wants you to be a reflection of Jesus in that valley. And I believe tonight that our Lord, he's told us tonight that not only, beloved, was he something else in his pre-incarnation, and something else in his birth. There's something about that name, but he's something else in his life. There's no other life like the life of Jesus. How many's glad you come tonight? I pray tonight that we'll leave here with a determination in our heart. We want to be more like him. Amen. More about Jesus. Why? So we could be more like Jesus. Amen. Amen. The Bible said in Joshua chapter 1, observe. A lot of people observe to learn. A lot of people observe to teach, observe to preach. But the Bible said observe to do. We're supposed to look into the Word of God to see what God wants us to do. Amen. How God wants us to live. Let's stand together tonight.